know what's your name?
Amy Ivy. A contracts negotiator, or risk mitigator, as I like to say these days. I grew up in Austin. I was born in Louisville, Kentucky, which is why I have this hat, but most of my family's from Kentucky and Tennessee, but I grew up in Austin through college. I was pretty shy, which is probably hard to believe these days, but it's true. I was a cute kid for a little bit, and then I went through like ugly duckling phase. I had bad acne, I had braces, headgear, all of that kind of stuff, and that was up until high school. So high school, all of that, like I had Accutane, I got all my braces off, my teeth were straight, and I looked a lot better. Oh, my mom stopped perming my hair, so that was better. They also used to call me Gumby because whenever I had braces, I have little teeth, or not like super little, but I have small teeth, and so whenever I had braces, most of my more gums would show than my teeth, so that was not fun. I actually have to practice smiling in photos, and we'll make people retake, because if I smile too big, you can see it, but. Well, I really only, my good memories of my dad, I don't have a lot of, probably I can count on one hand. He was an alcoholic, so it was pretty chaotic in our house whenever he was there, and if he wasn't there, there was a lot of confusion growing up that way and things like that. So I knew something was different than my family because he wasn't home a lot. He was either at work, or if he wasn't at work, he was at the bar. And I always knew if he wasn't at home, he was there. So there wasn't a lot of actualization about alcoholism per se, but I knew he wasn't there and that he was at a bar. I joke sometimes that I kind of grew up in a bar too, so whenever my mom had things to do or errands to run sometimes, and he was in charge of me. Sometimes I would go there too. So I knew exactly what bar. It was the same bar for 13 years. So I don't ever feel like they were really happy together, or at least from their interactions when we were all together. You know, I would overhear things being in the house at night when I was supposed to be asleep and things. It never felt like they necessarily had a happy marriage. I really felt like my mom was my best friend most of the time. She's the person that I spent most of the time with whenever I wasn't at school. I really didn't know my dad all that well, to be honest, because he wasn't around. So yeah, I mean, anxious in that, especially, you know, with the temper behavior and coming home from the bar and getting irritated with my mom. He was very controlling with her, with me as well. And just, yeah, I think anxiety plays a lot of part of that. Never knowing when he was gonna come home, what he was gonna be like when he came home. And that pretty much ruled a lot of how our house was run. So yeah, that year was bad. So my uncle died in May of 1992. My dad's oldest brother, and they were really close. He was actually my favorite uncle. He died of a massive, I'm pretty sure it's massive heart attack while he was driving. A lot of that stuff wasn't revealed to me a lot, but he wasn't a drinker. He was kind of a straight-laced guy. So, I mean, if anything, as far as health goes, maybe poor eating, but my dad's side has bad health history in general. So I was actually on a church trip to Astroworld. I was actually thinking about this the other day. On a church trip to Astroworld with my youth group, and I came home and everybody was unloading from the buses and things like that. And I noticed that my friend's parents, who were supposed to come pick me up and take me home, because that was the arrangement before we left, they were there, but our pastor was also there, which is weird because it was at night and there's no way that he was going to be there. So I found that odd, and it's not special attention per se, but I could notice the adults who were there were more around me whenever we were circling up and doing like prayer circle before we all left. And then they told me they had to talk to me, and I didn't see my mom at this point. They took me into the main office of the church, and my mom was there with her sister, who was visiting us at the time, and that's when they told me that my dad had been killed in a car accident. It was the night before, so a Saturday night. It was around the time the bars closed. He was leaving the bar, And I don't know the level of toxicity in his body, but he decided that he wanted to not necessarily drag race, but race another car. And on 183 over here, before the flyovers were built, and he was racing this guy, and he lost control, popped the median, went on to oncoming traffic, and hit two other cars. They were pretty damaged. Almost everyone was all right, but I did find out later that he put another woman in the hospital, but she did not die. He was the only fatality of the situation. I'm glad I finally got involved in sports because I kind of wanted to whenever I was young, but I was in dance and band and things like that. So it was kind of just fun to be a part of it. But, you know, I wasn't a varsity level athlete, and the only reason that I got on varsity was senior year because I was a senior and I couldn't be on JV. A year out of college, she got her first diagnosis of breast cancer, which was that was actually probably harder for me, I think, than my dad's death in some weird way, but just because she's my only parent left and she and I are very close. So she had gone in for her mammogram. I think maybe she got them yearly, I can't remember. And she had told me that they had found a lump, and I was like, all right. And she was like, well, usually it's okay because they're cysts or whatnot, like women have them all the time. So she kind of prepped me for that. And so I didn't really actually worry about it. And then after she had a biopsy done, she came home and let me know that it was malignant. And we proceeded with things after that, which was hard. Yeah, she's had it 3 times, most recently probably about 8 months ago. She had a single mastectomy. It was an interesting time. It kind of brought me, my dad, and my mom, or my dad, my stepdad, but I call him my dad because it's the only dad I have now. Closer together, we kind of bonded together as a family unit. She had her mastectomy around Thanksgiving, and so I made Thanksgiving dinner at home for everyone, like obviously my mom, the primary Thanksgiving eater, but the nurses and things, and brought it to the hospital, and I just wanted to take care of everybody who was taking care of my mom. Probably 8 years after. And that's when she had the other mastectomy, so she has a total of double mastectomies done. She's good. She's on, they didn't want to do chemo this time because she had it the second time. She didn't do it the first. And so she's on some cancer drugs. I think it's tamoxifen. She might have changed to a different one, but she takes pills every day for that. Whenever I was younger, I remember making this book in elementary school. I wanted to be an Olympic athlete, to be honest. I wanted to win the gold medal in the 100-meter dash. I mean, my mom wasn't an athlete. She was in band. She was also a majorette and really popular and did all those other things that didn't involve athletics. And so I don't think her natural tendency would be to put me in athletics, because that's not what she did. And so I did the dance route instead.
When did you meet your first husband?
When did I meet him? No, that was the high school guy. So 17.
So you met him in high school.
Mm-hmm.
You were on again, off again, long distance in college.
Yep. He moved back to Austin after college. And then he decided he wanted to go to law school, and so I followed suit, which is what happened. We got married before we went to law school, so when I was 23. I mean, it was, you know, tumultuous in college, but that's just, I think, part of growing up. Whenever he came back here, I mean, it was difficult. He actually came from a different religious background than I did. I think there was a lot of animosity about that from his mother, and I didn't necessarily fit in to that family all that well. I mean, I got along with everyone, but I never really felt a part of it because of the difference of my religious beliefs or lack thereof and, you know, his, so. Whenever I was talking about my dad and having been on a church trip, I was only in the kind of church realm of things for about 5 years. And then after my dad died, I kind of left that way of thinking and you know, it was too early to say this, but I'm agnostic, but I was very welcoming of the Jewish faith, and so I've been to temple. I celebrate with them. I like their sense of community and family and things like that. So I was open to it. I just didn't want to convert. I think it was a lot of struggle because we were young, period. We actually left and went to school up in Minnesota. He wasn't very happy with, he actually didn't get in. So we left. I had gotten in to school. And he was on a wait list for a school. And so we went up there and decided to do it. And if he didn't get in, he'd reapply the following year. I went to William Mitchell College of Law in St. Paul, and he was applying to the University of Minnesota. And I only did 1 year there. I transferred to Tulane. He worked there for a year when I did my first year and then reapplied again to law school. I ended up actually transferring because I didn't want him to be miserable up there anymore. I didn't necessarily feel like I was treated like I should be in a marriage, and that probably comes from all the complexities of my own, like witnessing my parents' relationship. And I brought it to his attention, and I guess it was a lot more severe than I thought it was. I just approached him with the problems I thought we had. I asked if we could go to counseling, and he said that they were my issues and he didn't need to go to counseling. And then a week later, he was like, well, when are we getting divorced? So, I don't know. It was kind of a weird divorce. Can't be defined by your past. Not playing a victim anymore to what I feel like has happened to me. It's just life. Every day I can make a decision to make a change and be positive. So owning that and being present, I think, is my new year, new you kind of motto, like actually being present, so that helps. I mean, I think that's where all this CrossFit business comes in, no? So, this CrossFit's actually a place for me where it's my own, right? I did some weightlifting in college when I was on the rowing team, and so the movements weren't foreign to me, per se, so I kind of remember, but it, you know, was still kind of a struggle to, especially, you know, the barbell movements and things like that, just to kind of get what those motions were like again. But, you know, it wasn't too bad. It wasn't too hard. I think I entered into it because I like being competitive, and I think that CrossFit offers that, you know, with yourself. I also like the aspect of CrossFit that's community. So I came to this gym, have been here for 2.5 years. I think I've made some really great friendships. I think it's very supportive. It's just kind of like a small family to me at this point. So I like that. I mean, you have to be an active participant in changing. I was introduced to it from a friend of mine. A couple of us did it together. And it was just something new. There's a lot of variety to it, so I felt like there had been some part of it that would click with me, and then all of it did. So running's fucking boring, like especially the long distances that I was doing. So I think when I was marathon training, it was good for my soul at the time. It's really hard on the body. Your joints whenever you're running on the asphalt and all that kind of stuff all the time, and you know, for so long, it's just boring. Like, my music's awesome, but you know, I don't like running for like 2 or 3 hours at a time. I like the opportunity to get stronger. I've never been as strong as I am right now, and I'm almost 40, which is, I kind of amaze myself in that respect. I like that the wads are short and not 3 hours of running, which is awesome. I don't know, there's so many new goals I have when it comes to strength these days, so I like that part of it. It's an outlet for me to be angry and it still be a safe thing instead of, you know, I used to do a lot of coping through alcohol and just being a miserable person, and I think this is productive, and I can slam weights around and be mad at work or people or situations or, you know, thoughts of the past, and I can kind of just let it all out here for an hour, and exert all of that effort and be done with it whenever I leave and feel like I've done something productive at the same time. I mean, I think everybody's here for a purpose and they have their own purpose, but everybody here is pretty genuine and easy to get to know and really friendly and positive. So I haven't had bad experience here whatsoever. Take one fucking day at a time. Find those people you can confide in, and like, you know, my CrossFit family is some of that. Be patient. Things will actually all be okay, even if it doesn't feel like it. I don't know. One day at a time, really. I'm living that right now, so.